What are your guys, and you don't have to give away any secret sauce or anything like that, but what are your guys' preferred methods of getting a GPT to reflect a brand?
Well, there's not any secret sauce. It's just like lots and lots of content, I think.
Sure.
So we have a lot of past content to train the models on. Generally, like, we work with brands over years and we get to know them really well. And we're creating large amounts of content across all the languages. So we have a lot of information to train the model on, but then we also obviously create prompts I should say that the AI focused employee is the one who's like creating the custom GPTs. Having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I thought we'd maybe just get started with talking about a little bit about your journey to Vera Content. Can you share with us your journey from journalism, working with like a publication like the Wall Street Journal, which is incredible, to becoming an entrepreneur and co-founding Vera Content? What did that look like?
Yeah. So, well, we can pronounce it either way. We usually say Vera Content, but all good. We're an international company, so we accept all pronunciations. But my background is a print journalist. As you mentioned, I worked in newspapers, and I think that gave me a really unique perspective because I think my biggest takeaway from my years as a journalist is the editorial process, and that's something. Like for creating quality content, and that's something that I've really like brought with me to Vera Content. Mm-hmm. So I'm an American living in Spain, so I worked in publications in the U.S. My longest time was at a newspaper called The Plain Dealer in Cleveland. But then later I worked as a correspondent and I worked with the Wall Street Journal from Spain after I did an MBA here and stuff. And then I ended up moving into corporate communication and marketing. And I kind of saw that every company needed to create content as if they were a publication, but they were kind of lacking the processes to do it well. I had experience working with a lot of agencies when I was doing corporate comms and marketing. So I kind of thought, I could do it better, and that's why I decided to start my agency, which has been going now for like 9 years. So
amazing, amazing. Congratulations. Yes. I'm particularly interested in how storytelling and how your background in journalism also helps you craft content that resonates across multiple cultures and languages. What are the particular challenges or unique challenges about publishing content globally like that?
Yeah, well, so my journalism background, I mean, like I said, I'm from the U.S. and I had only ever written in English, but then it was after moving to Europe and seeing, like, I mean, obviously in Europe, you have such diverse markets and anything you do, like most companies who operate here have to do things in multiple languages. So by working in communications and marketing, I ended up working in translation because it just goes hand in hand when you're working across different markets. And that's kind of how I got into it. In terms of storytelling from journalism, I think journalistic writing is very practical style of writing. So it really helped me learn how to like organize information and prioritize it, how to be super concise and clear, and how to be efficient in producing it. And that's, I think, something I've carried over. And then I think when it comes to like resonating with different audiences, I mean, I guess that is also something that I've learned from journalism is like, you have to like think about who you're writing for and provide them like, I don't know, put yourself in their shoes and like craft like content that resonates with them. So definitely that's something that's carried over into the multilingual content creation. Of course, that, like I was saying, was 10 years ago was a new territory for me. And of course I only speak two languages, so I rely on a lot of other people to produce the content in the other languages. So it's really a big part of what we do in my agency is recruiting talent. So we're like constantly looking for great writers in all the different markets, and we count on them to really like know their market and help us adapt into each of the different regions.
Awesome. So. Very cool. All right, let's get into the good stuff now. We are the AI Marketing Navigator, after all, so we'd like to talk mostly about AI. So I wanted to touch a little bit on integrating AI into content creation, something we literally talk about every day here on the show. And so at Vera Content, I know you leverage a variety of AI tools. C- Can you tell us a little bit, which technology do you think has been the most transformative in streamlining the processes that you guys have at Vera Content? And also, a secondary question would be, which of the tools is most helpful in that localization and in that cultural relevance in content creation?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, so as I was kind of mentioning, I mean, what we do is really like large scale content creation and managing these big projects that are in lots of different languages. So we're always looking for ways to like optimize the way we do that and like integrate different tools into our processes. Mm-hmm. And we've used tools that either are AI tools or integrate AI in some way and across a lot of different things. And we constantly are like investigating new tools and looking at how we can optimize. We actually have a member of our team who's like, whose main job is doing that.
Love that.
And she helps us like onboarding with new projects, thinking about what tools we can use, how we can optimize it. But a few examples, well, I'd say the first AI functionality that we really used was transcription, essentially. And I think AI transcription is built into like so many tools now, so we're all using it. But it's something that we used quite early on that helped us like basically repurpose audio content to be used for in writing. Also, a lot of transcription tools help put it in the format for subtitling, so helped with subtitling videos. And so some of the tools we've used, one that we've been using since quite a while is called Subly, that like translates into a whole bunch, like lets you automatically put subtitles in a lot of different languages. Now that functionality is built into a lot of like video editing tools mm-hmm. as well. So we, depending on the project, I think there's like so much, there's so many different startups with different tools and we've been testing lots of them. and some of them are like, there's so many that like one has this functionality but doesn't have this. And that, so like we end up using one tool for one thing and one tool for something else. And I think there's going to be like consolidation of all that eventually. so they'll be like the go-to tools, or like Google will buy them all or something and mm-hmm, it'll just be integrated. Mm-hmm. but for the moment, we're using a lot of different things. Like we use Veed for some projects, Veed.io, or we've used Descript. I mean, we use, lots of different video editors. And we're still kind of like figuring out what's the optimal one. Mm-hmm. And the multilingual dubbing, that's a really interesting area, which also definitely like Google is buying these companies. But, and mm-hmm. I know like we've heard that like, well, YouTube is already like has just launched like dubbing integrated within YouTube in 8 languages. And I think they'll expand to more. So, but I've done lots of tests with those, and we've used Rask.ai on a few projects, which I really like because it allows you to actually edit the, has more editing capability to like actually make it a good dub compared to some of the other tools.
Right.
Of course, like large language models, generative AI using for like ChatGPT, Gemini, and all that as well.
I could go on,
but I'll leave it at that for now. I'm sure you'll ask me more.
I could also go on for days when someone asks me about AI. First of all, you touched on so many things that I've highlighted on this show. The first thing that caught my attention was the AI-focused employee at Vera Content. I think that is such a good idea for businesses to do. If it's... The second thing you told that resonated with me was just the overwhelming amount of tools that were out there. I literally just did an episode a few days ago where we talked about, I just called it AI anxiety, because just trying to keep up with everything that's out there and the FOMO that I have about everybody creating and using AI. And if there's a new tool that dropped overnight or something like that, I feel like I'm already way behind the game. So I think having an employee who's dedicated to that at a business is just so smart, so brilliant. And I've written down quite a few of those tools that you mentioned to take a look into. You've also had some success with like custom GPTs that you've tailored to specific client needs. And we have definitely demoed some custom GPTs and talked about it before. I still have to get in and build one along with everybody here on the AI Marketing Navigator. But can you give us a little insight into training those GPTs, or what you provide those GPTs to make sure that it aligns with a brand style, a brand voice? What are your guys, and you don't have to give away any secret sauce or anything like that, but what are your guys' preferred methods of getting a GPT to reflect a brand?
Yeah, well, there's not any secret sauce. It's just like lots and lots of content, I think.
Sure.
But yeah, so we work on like long-term ongoing projects. So we have a lot of past content to train the models on. Generally, like we work with brands over years and we get to know them really well. And we're creating large amounts of content across all the languages. So, and we also like have term bases of all the terminology they typically, well, I mean, we actually create the term bases and we're, and so I think, well, in style guides, tone guides, and all that stuff as well. So we have a lot of information to train the model on. But then we also, obviously create prompts that. And I think that I should say that the AI focused employee is the one who's like creating the custom TPDs. So she would know in much more detail exactly how we do it. Sorry, I'm like getting lost in the question.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Totally understand. And I will maybe have to follow up with you and pick the brain of your guys' AI employee on a future episode, because I'd be very curious to hear about her day to day as well.
Definitely.
I can't imagine my job would be easy compared to that. I only have to find the tool and talk about it for a day. She actually had to implement it and explain why it's useful to everybody there at the company.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could say like examples of when custom GPTs have been really useful is when it's like we have just a certain type of content that's repetitive, and it's like I think that of course like humans are involved throughout the process, but the AI basically allows us to be a lot faster in putting things into the correct format. So often, like when it works best for us is when we have like we tend to, like, for example, like it's an article that's based on a questionnaire, and the questionnaire is always in the same format, and then the output is always in the same format. It, like having an AI prompt for that, obviously something that's lends itself well.
And again, not to get too deep into the weeds on your guys' GPT practice, are you guys still using custom GPTs, or have you found, a different tool that maybe can apply the brand voice itself, or are you still kind of doing that in-house as far as applying a brand voice when you're working with a client?
Yeah, there are like dedicated tools for marketing that we have tested, like writer.com or Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
But like we haven't found it to be like worth the very high subscription compared, like in terms of capabilities being above and beyond what you can do with ChatGPT or with Gemini. So that's why we haven't gone that route. Although, it's something that we're still considering investing in potentially.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we found like basically before the custom GPTs were a thing, because that allows us to like save like basically our prompts in an efficient way for like each of our clients. Whereas if we, and I think that is kind of a tool like Jasper Writer like allows you to like have this team collaboration, and it is definitely has more features that lend itself to content creation team.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're working on like so many different projects and so many different linguists, because like it gets super, super expensive to have licenses for that. So that's
why
we haven't done it.
Of course. And that kind of segues into, I finally remembered when you mentioned we're talking about all these AI tools and everything like that. And the idea that someday it's all just going to be consolidated into, whether it's Google, whether it's Gemini, whether it's ChatGPT, I probably think it's going to be one of those two myself, but ChatGPT is going to be able to do what writer.com does and jasper.com does. And so it's just this fascinating, very, very fluid landscape that we live in. And I honestly, sometimes I do envy, but I don't envy a startup who, tomorrow their entire business could literally go under because ChatGPT releases another feature.
Although some of them are based on like the GPT like API. So like so really the value they're adding is like the software interface, but I also find it like hard to justify paying for that. Like unless the software does something incredible,
exactly.
Ultimately you're using the same large language model, and it's not. And from what I've seen a lot of times, even within there, it's like, okay, you can save all your prompts in a certain way and stuff, but in the end, it's still like a chat format. So it's not really, it's not like adding that much value from what I've seen.
For sure.
But I know like Jasper, for example, also has like tools for creating images for social media and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like it is like, I don't know. It it there are some advantages of using something like that. It like makes everything convenient, but it's just like I don't need it to be that convenient.
Exactly.
Can spend like one more minute.
The convenience right now is like the differentiator, and it's, that's why to me it's only a matter of time. But it's another reason why I think marketing and storytelling in particular is so important. Even if it's not strictly storytelling through long form text, but just the way you present your brand and the way you present your tool is going to be what makes the difference as far as adoption goes. It's because it's all going to be tapped into the super intelligence someday anyway. I think that's going to, I think I'm going to cut us off there for the first episode today. So thank you so much again, Shaheen. And hopefully we can continue our conversation again on tomorrow's episode.
Okay, great. All right.